Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 25. Genesis chapter 25, this is God's word. Abraham took another wife whose name was Keturah. She bore him Zimran, Jokshan, Medan, Midian, Ishbak, and Shua. Jokshan was the father of Sheba and Dedan. The descendants of Dedan were the Asherites, the Letushites, and the Leumites. The sons of Midian were Ephah, Epher, Hanok, Abida, and Elda. All these were descendants of Keturah. Abraham left everything he owned to Isaac, but while he was still living, he gave gifts to the sons of his concubines and sent them away from his son Isaac to the land of the east. Altogether, Abraham lived 175 years. Then Abraham breathed his last and died at a good old age, an old man and full of years. And he was gathered to his people. His sons, Isaac and Ishmael, buried him in the cave of Machpelah near Mamre in the field of Ephron, the son of Zohar the Hittite, the field Abraham had bought from the Hittites. There Abraham was buried with his wife Sarah. After Abraham's death, God blessed his son Isaac, who then lived near Beer Lahai Roy. This is the account of Abraham's son Ishmael, whom Sarah's maidservant Hagar the Egyptian bore to Abraham. These are the names of the sons of Ishmael, listed in the order of their birth: Nebaioth, the firstborn of Ishmael, Kedar, Adbeel, Mibsam, Mishma, Duma, Masa, Hadad, Tema, Jetur, Naphish, and Kadima. These were the sons of Ishmael, and these are the names of the 12 tribal rulers, according to their settlements and camps. Altogether, Ishmael lived 137 years. He breathed his last and died, and he was gathered to his people. His descendants settled in the area from Havilah to Shur, near the border of Egypt, as you go toward Asher, and they lived in hostility toward all their brothers. This is the account of Abraham's son Isaac. Abraham became the father of Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he married Rebekah, daughter of Bethuel, the Aramean from Paddan Aram, and sister of Laban the Aramean. Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was barren. The Lord answered his prayer, and his wife, Rebekah, became pregnant. The babies jostled each other within her, and she said, "Why is this happening to me?" So she went to inquire of the Lord. The Lord said to her, "Two nations are in your womb, and two peoples from within you will be separated. One people will be stronger than the other, and the older will serve the younger." When the time came for her to give birth, there were twin boys in her womb. The first to come out was red, and his whole body was like a hairy garment. So they named him Esau. After this, his brother came out with his hand grasping Esau's heel. So he was named Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when Rebekah gave birth to them. The boys grew up, and Esau became a skillful hunter, a man of the open country, while Jacob was a quiet man, staying among the tents. Isaac, who had a taste for wild game, loved Esau, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Once, when Jacob was cooking some stew, Esau came in from the open country, famished. He said to Jacob, Quick, let me have some of that red stew. I'm famished. That is also why he was called Edom. Jacob replied, First, sell me your birthright. Look, I'm about to die, Esau said. What good is the birthright to me? But Jacob said, Swear to me first. So he swore an oath to him, selling his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau some bread and some lentil stew. He ate and drank and then got up and left. So Esau despised his birthright. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. First of all, if you want an overarching message for this chapter and the rest of the book, and the rest of the book, as in Bible, it is the fact that God is going to bring salvation through the one perfect man, Jesus. Everybody else, very flawed. Everybody else has problems. Everybody else needs a Savior. All of us need a Savior. All the folks in the Bible need a Savior. All those characters. Even Abraham. And you say, well, Pastor Wood, was it wrong for him to marry again after Sarah had died? Well, no, of course not. There's not a problem with his marrying again. But if you'll remember, there were some other problems that we did see in Abraham's life. There were wonderful times when he trusted God in an amazing way, and that was commended by God. But there were times when he did not trust God and therefore lied and put his wife at risk, and he did it repeatedly. That's not okay. There were times when he foolishly did what his wife told him to do and ended up having a sexual relationship with a woman he wasn't really married to. It was his wife's servant. And she wanted, through that servant, to see if she could have a child, a surrogate pregnancy. And so Abraham behaved in accordance with his wife's wishes, and then she becomes very, very angry and bitter after the fact. If you look at Abraham's life, you see a great man who didn't always do the right thing. He cannot save us. He can be an example to us of good and of wrong, but he cannot save us because he too was a sinner. And so in the start of this chapter, we see that he not only was a sinner, but that he died and was buried and didn't come back on the third day. There's only one who's done that. Jesus. Jesus is the only one who is perfect, who never sinned, who took the penalty for our sins, and who rose again from the dead and is alive today. Everybody else needs a Savior. And God, throughout this story, is showing that he will bring salvation through Jesus Christ. So, Abraham, we've got first, he had a whole bunch of other kids with this woman, Keturah, that he took as a less valued wife. She's referred to as a concubine in one place. And what that means is she didn't really have rights of inheritance and so forth. She was not treated with the same honor that Sarah was. That's not the way marriage is supposed to be. But that's what we have here. And it's just recorded honestly. And he had a bunch of children with this woman, Keturah. They're all listed. And they all got gifts given to them, but none of them were the heir. There was one who was the heir. He was the miracle child. His name was Laughter, Isaac. So, we're going to see the line of Isaac being traced as we go forward. But before we leave these others, Scripture gives us just a little historical setting, and it gives us the lines of Ishmael, and it is very diligent in how it does it. It lists them in order of their birth, and it talks about where they settled and who their descendants were, and the fact that in fulfillment of God's word back in chapter 16, they all lived in hostility toward all their brothers. I mean, it's just the way it was, still is today. And by the way, that's not going to get straightened out by the UN. It's not going to get straightened out by human involvement in those affairs. That will get straightened out when Jesus comes again and rules with an iron scepter.
You are listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. This program is paid for by the generous donations of listeners like you. You can hear Pastor Wood's teachings 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at pastorwood.org. And when you visit pastorwood.org, we would greatly appreciate it if you would tell us a little bit about yourself and, if possible, also make a donation to this ministry. So please visit pastorwood.org today. Or give us a call at 866-41-ABIDE.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus
is. So, beginning in verse 19, this is the account of Abraham's son Isaac. Now we're back to the line of promise. Abraham became the father of Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he married Rebekah, daughter of Bethuel. Verse 21, Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was barren. And the Lord answered his prayer, and his wife Rebekah became pregnant. Look at verse 26. Isaac was 60 years old when Rebekah gave birth to them. He's 40 years old when he gets married, and a year later, there's no baby. That's all right. Well, sometimes these things take some time. Another year goes by. Another year goes by. Another year goes by. And it looks like we're not having children. God promised Abraham that through Isaac, he would have this huge, huge congregation of people. So why is this not happening? How many children does he end up having? Two. Wouldn't you have thought there'd be a lot more than that? You know, if we're going to have this great nation, I think we need to get started. We need multiplication. I mean, you got Isaac is the one through whom it's to come, and now he has two boys. Well, actually, God's only going to use one of them to be the one through whom salvation will come. And that one will have 12 sons, but only one of them will be the one through whom salvation will come. Over and over and over and over. We want to see large numbers and everything going according to plan. And God says, I've got this under control, and it is going according to plan. I'm at work. I'm carrying out my plan. And this one is the one who's going to make the difference. And that happens generation after generation, decade after decade, century after century, and down through the millennia. God is working out his plan, doing it his way. And it is not according to our timetable. Isaac waited 20 years. 20 years. That's a long time. Abraham, who had longed for this boy Isaac, is now dead and buried. And Isaac, who longed to have a child, now has two. Two boys, twins. And he's got his favorite, Harry. Okay? Esau was covered with hair, so much so we'll see later on that if you wanted to impersonate him, you got animal skins and put on your body. Okay? That's how hairy he was. He was hairy, hairy. I mean, really, really, really hairy. Right? Esau was one of those guys. His daddy loved it. He's like, hey, man, go, you know, let's go hunting. And then increasingly, because he was my age when the boy was born, he's saying, how about you go hunting, bring me some venison, all right? But the fact is, he had a favorite. Isaac had a favorite. His favorite was Esau. Well, that's not good. Parents shouldn't have favorites. Well, somebody had to make up for the fact that Mama loved Jacob. How did she choose Jacob? Well, God had told her he was going to be the ruler. I can't say for sure that's how he became Mom's favorite, but I think based on what happens later on, that's very likely the case. Mom hitched her wagon to the one that God said was going to be the star. And God had indeed chosen Jacob as his favorite. The Bible says, before anything had been done by either of them, God said, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. Let me tell you, God knows what he's up to. And God had chosen a sinful man named Jacob through whom he would continue the line. It's going to be one sinner after another sinner after another sinner after another sinner until the sinless one is born of a virgin and offers himself as the sacrifice who bears the sin of God's people. That's the way it is. That's the plan of salvation. That's God's plan. God will bring salvation through the one perfect man, Jesus. So, you finally have these two boys born. It's interesting that literally, as they came out of the womb, Jacob was grasping his brother's heel. That's where he got his name, Jacob, which means he grasps the heel, as in he trips someone up, as in he deceives. And Esau became a skillful hunter, a man of the open country, while Jacob was a quiet man staying among the tents. You can see why Mom loved him. He's helping out in the kitchen all the time. Hey, I love to cook. There's nothing wrong with manly men who know how to cook. But I want you to see, these guys could not have been more different. Okay? One of them is hairy, the other one is not. One of them is a guy who loves to be going and outdoors, and the other one just really likes to stay. He's a homebody. Okay? You can be different, and that's okay. There are some things God commands, and then there's other stuff that's just cultural and personal and psychological. And it's okay. And I want you to understand that as you are growing up, you're going to be different from people around you, and you can feel, here are two things that would be a big mistake that happen all the time. You feel like you're better than other people because they're not like you. Or you feel like you're not as good as other people because you're not like them. And in both cases, that's a mistake. If you start comparing yourself to other people in regard to things that are not biblically mandated, your height, whether or not you're big boned. I mean, the fact is, You don't have to have big, big bones in order to be a person who has great influence. You don't have to. I know some big boned people who that's their best feature. And you don't want that to be said of you, okay? But you also shouldn't feel at all bad about how God made you. Sin, on the other hand, is another story. And we're about to see two people behaving badly in this story of Jacob and Esau. Because one day Esau is out hunting, and he comes back, and he's just starving, man. He's just starving. I'm just starving. And what has little brother been doing? Okay? His twin born moments after he was, he's got lentil stew going. Oh, it's delicious. You can smell it. And he says, hey, man, I got to have some of that. Got to have some. His brother's like, okay, you can have some. But first, I want you to sell me your birthright. Now, the birthright is that the elder brother gets twice as much of an inheritance as the younger brother. And what happens in this family is that the younger brother says, I'll give you some soup. Just change places with me. Okay? I want to be the elder brother. I want to get the inheritance that you were supposed to get. I want it. And the older brother foolishly says, well, what good is my birthright if I'm dead? Sure, deal. That's a rash commitment. Let me tell you, you are likely to make that same mistake if you think, I've got to have what I want right now. That's what Esau did. That's his great, grievous sin. He did not appreciate what he had. And so he gave it up for what he wanted in the moment. He had something that was worth far more. He gave it up because he didn't value it. He despised his birthright. That's what it says. He despised it. That doesn't mean that if you'd asked him on another day, before he went hunting, if Jacob had come to him and said, hey man, would you sell me your birthright? Esau would have said, no way, twit. But I'm telling you, Esau is the poster child for having this attitude of thinking, I've got to have this thing right now. And I'll give up something of much greater value to get what I want in the moment. That is a recipe for disaster, folks. And it couldn't be undone. Say, okay, so Esau really messed up. Yeah, but how do you feel about Jacob? Good guy? No. He was the deceiver. He took advantage of his brother. What would have been the right thing to say when you're cooking lentil stew and your brother comes in and he's feeling ravenously hungry and he says, hey man, can I get a bowl of that? What do you say? Sure, bro, did you have any success hunting? Just give him some soup. Just be kind. Not Jacob. He saw his brother, he knew his weakness, and he knew what he wanted. And he got it. And God used him anyway to carry on the line. And he was indeed the heir. And it's not going to be the last time Jacob messes up. Because God uses a bunch of imperfect people in order to bring the perfect man who alone can save us. And that ultimately is what all of this is about.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.com. pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.
Hi, this is Pastor Jim Wood of Abiding in Christ. Living in the mountains of East Tennessee, I'm surrounded by phenomenal beauty in every season of the year. My wife and I live on a mountainside that adjoins the Great Smoky Mountains National Park, the most popular, most visited of all the national parks in the USA. Our neighbors include bears and bobcats, foxes and raccoons, even possums and skunks. Just down the hill from our house is the beautiful campus of Ware's Valley Ranch, a miraculous place where God is busy changing lives from the inside out. On this program, you'll hear interviews, monologues, but mostly you'll hear the expository preaching that I do here at the ranch. Because I'm often speaking to a room full of children, you may occasionally hear background noises or illustrations and vocabulary chosen for a child's frame of reference. But the one thing I pray you will hear every time is God's Word, the eternal, inerrant Word which points us to Jesus. I'm delighted to partner with this station in bringing these messages to you, and I'd like to get to know you better as you get to know us. Please visit us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org. Click on the link that says Contact Us and let us hear from you. We'd love to know the station where you listen. And feel free to share any prayer requests as well. We actually do pray for the specific requests that folks send us, and we love hearing how God answers those prayers. Again, the website is pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.